It is one of the most misunderstood, misapplied, and quite frankly, threatening to the very core of what we call salvation. The misunderstanding is that as believers, we don't quite know fully what salvation is all about. Oh, we may have remembered a day of when we, by grace through faith, trusted in Christ and Christ alone. But this morning, the scriptures have much more to say than just that particular event. In fact, this morning we're going to share with you the process, the three phases of what we lead to understand of what salvation is all about. But the danger as we look at these is this. When we try to not only just compare, but equalize each one of those sections as being the same, and they're not. And so this morning we're going to investigate, what does the Bible say about salvation? Before we begin, let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, this wonderful gift that you have given to us, freely for anyone who would believe, it's available to anyone who by faith would trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for their only hope of eternal life. It's recorded in your word, Lord, that Jesus even said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It is exclusive, but at the same time, it is inclusive. Salvation is exclusive because there is only one way. But it is inclusive because the scriptures also say, whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord. May we this morning, O Lord, as we investigate what your word has to say concerning this glorious truth, may it go beyond the realm of just mentally knowing to a heartfelt appreciation for what you have done. May our hearts be warmed with passion of thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. And may our lives be lived in such a way that people would recognize the fact that we are saying, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Lord, this morning, too, we remember individuals that are on beds of affliction. Individuals who would like to be here, but because of illnesses cannot be here. We lift them to your throne. And we ask, O Lord, that in your way and in your will, you would minister to them and bring to yourself honor and glory in every one of their life situations. We lift up to you our servicemen, service ladies who are protecting us, giving us this freedom to meet here today. We ask that you would watch over them. Protect them by your grace, for your will. I lift up to you our president and vice president, his cabinet, our senators and our congressmen. I pray, O God, that you would intervene in such a way that the United States may very well remember what it is to be blessed by God. I ask, O Lord, that you would protect them, that you would use individuals in those arenas, individuals who know you. Use them, O Lord God, to be words of wisdom, be words of direction that would come from your throne. As we open your word, O Lord, may I again, our eyes be connected to our hearts, that at what we see would enlighten our lives, all for your honor and for your glory. Help me to speak truth, not to wander in my own words, but to speak what you would have for us. For we will ask these things in the matchless name of Christ our Savior. Amen. It's not long before you find out that when you begin to talk to people about what it means to be saved, or if they know that if they were to die today, would they open their eyes in glory or would they open their eyes in judgment? You'll find out quickly that there are many views. Some, I'm sure, you're very familiar with, state the fact that, well, as long as my good works outweigh my bad works, I'm in. Others say, well, I'm not as bad as that person, so I must be okay. We begin to compare our life situations with either other circumstances or other people, and we neglect what God has to say. So this morning, I thought we would gander, if you will, on this issue of salvation. When you come to the Word of God, you will notice that there are virtually three parts under this umbrella that is called salvation. There are three parts that the Scriptures speak very, very clearly. Each one of the parts is separate in themselves, but are connected by grace through faith. You have to start by grace through faith, and ultimately you will finish by grace through faith. So what do we mean by these three parts? The first one is justification. Now, there are individuals who like to come up with nice little sayings about what justification is. And you may have heard this one. Justification is just as if I'd never sinned. I think that's a wrong application. Let me give you a basic definition. Justification is the act of God whereby he declares an individual not guilty. Not guilty. It is a judicial term. God, who is the sovereign king, he is the judge of all the universe, and justification says an individual is not guilty. We're going to look at that a little bit more intently, but understand this. Justification is one and done. If you have been declared not guilty by God, you will never have to come to him again and hear those same words. It's one and done. But the question on the table is this: have you? Have you been declared not guilty by God? We'll get to that as we proceed this morning. The second part is this, sanctification. The basic definition of sanctification is the spiritual growth process whereby a person becomes conformed to the image of the Savior, Jesus Christ. This, though, is different because it is a lifelong pursuit. You will never come to the end of sanctification. The last one is this, glorification. This is the one I'm waiting for. Can I get an amen from the congregation? This is the one I'm waiting for because the basic definition is this. The final act of salvation whereby a child of God is taken to heaven. This is also done for all eternity. So, let's take apart these three sections. We will begin with justification. Wonderfully put, at least by some, it means saved from the penalty of sin. Justification is saved from the penalty of sin. An individual who has been declared by God not guilty is saved from the penalty of sin. There are key verses, though, that help us to understand. You only have two in your notes. I have two more to give you, but John 5 and verse 24 literally makes the statement this way. It says, "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and has passed from darkness to light." We're more familiar maybe with Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 where it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse you do not have. Romans 8 verse 1, if you wish to write that down and go search it out. It's a glorious verse right after chapter 7. Where Paul is in this battle of trying to figure out this battle between the carnal and the spiritual side of mankind who come to know Christ. And he comes with a glorious statement in chapter 8, verse 1, where he says, "Wherefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." That's a glorious statement. The last one you may be more familiar with. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But there are some key components to this part of salvation that we call justification. The key component, first of all, is this. As we said before, justification is the act of God whereby God declares a person not guilty. Well, what do we mean by that? We mean this. When a lost sinner believes or trusts in Christ by faith. Let me quick give you a definition of faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. Once an individual by faith, that person is not only forgiven by God, but is also declared by God to be free from the penalty of sin, which the scripture says is eternal death. This act is once and done. Someone ought to give an amen for that. This declaration is never removed and is never lost. Thus, the one who is forgiven can never become or be unsaved. My notes almost jumped off the table because of that statement. They were rejoicing. Once you have been declared not guilty by God, that is never rescinded. It is always, it stands for all eternity. Because if it is rescinded by God, then God's a liar and he cannot be God. And if you think you can do something to get out of being saved, become unsaved, then you're a whole lot stronger than God is, and heaven help you. It's once and done. The justified person is now identified in Jesus Christ and the life that Jesus Christ has given. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. We are identified in Jesus Christ. Justification is also this, that the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring about conviction, which leads to belief. I've given Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17, but verse 17 solidifies it when it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So seeing that justification is just the beginning of salvation, it is the entrance, if you will, into the very door of glory. Not of works which we have done, all finished by the final work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, him willingly giving his life that we may live. And all we need to be is like the Philippian jailer when he asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's the entrance. It's the beginning of this wonderful truth that we call saved salvation. But it leads us to the second, sanctification. Big word that means nothing more than this. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from the power of sin. Justification, saved from the penalty of sin. I no longer am going to face God as a judge of condemnation. Sanctification is about being saved from the power of sin. The classic view is Romans chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul says, I got trouble here, people. Those things that I know I should not do, I find myself doing them. Those things that I know I should be doing, I find myself not doing them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this? Chapter 8, verse 1, wherefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Sanctification is the process of being saved from the power of sin. Up to this point, you could not say to the evil one, leave me alone, because you had nothing in order to do that with. But through justification, being declared not guilty by God, now you can say to the evil one, leave me alone. I belong to the king. You're nothing more than a prince. I'm getting all preached up here, getting crazy. key verses, Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Classic verse of sanctification. Second one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 12 to 17. Verse 17, therefore, whoever finds himself in Jesus Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Then there's 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, and lastly, Ephesians 2:10, where it talks about, wherefore, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has predetermined that I should walk in them. Don't ever allow individuals to confuse you that justification and sanctification are the same thing. They are not the same thing. They are part of this journey of salvation. I got that. Justification is one and done. Sanctification is going to take you the rest of your life. It'll never stop. You must continually be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. To be conformed to his Son. What are some of the key components? This. Sanctification is for those who are already in Christ. It is a lifelong pursuit of becoming conformed more and more and more and more. The Greek word is not an endless word. Be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, a verse we already saw, says, this life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The second thing, that S on the wall is for just extra for you, no charge. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with my computer. It does this to me every time. You know, I got to tell you something too. This week, working on this, I had so much problem with my laptop. That baby almost became glorified. But I knew what was happening. Because the forces of darkness would rather keep us in confusion of what God has made plain. And I wasn't going to let him get the victory. Be surprised how machines work when you take a hammer out and lay it next to them. And the hammer I used was in the name of Jesus Christ. And it worked. It is the forsaking of earthly pleasures that would draw us away from God. And at the same time, it is the pursuit of those characteristics that please God. That's what sanctification is. There is nothing in there about asking Jesus to be your Savior. That's done. Now you want him to be king of your life. It is this process of being conformed to who he is. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15 to 23, the Apostle Paul lays it out. Those who you follow after whether sinfulness or righteousness, you will become their slave. The word is doulos, slave. We don't like that word, but it's a good word. I can think of nothing greater than to be a slave of the King. All the rewards are going to be great, believe me. Galatians 2 and verses 22 to 25. Vacation Bible School, we have not yet forgot, right? It is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what's supposed to be in our lives. This is what we are to be after. In 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are of the world are not of God. They are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John says, forsake it. Get away from it. That's part of sanctification. It's very close. Our word sanctification is very close to the Old Testament Hebrew word, which literally means something has been set aside for the use of God only. Instruments in the tabernacle were sanctified to God. They had a special feature and they had a special usage that only was for God, nothing else. If you were frying eggs that morning, you could not go into the temple and grab hold of a spoon sanctified to God and use it for yourself. It's for God only. So if we look at that in our own lives, sanctification is this: I want to be used for God only. Nobody else. It's only possible if I have been declared not guilty first. In other words, you can't get to this and forsake justification. Someone ought to say amen. In other words, hallelujah, dear sister. She knows what's going on. It is about our lives being lived for Jesus by saying thank you for all that you've done for me. In other words, sanctification, it ain't going, Miss Di, you do it. They're saying, thank you. In other words, sanctification is the desired process of setting oneself apart from the world and useful for the glory and honor of God. In this process, rewards are earned and kept in heaven until the day of the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we will give an account, we will give an answer. But what you need to be careful of is this. The judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5 has nothing to do with salvation. That has been settled. But it has everything to do with rewards, crowns that we will get, crowns that eventually we'll just lay at Jesus' feet anyway. But it's about rewards. It's about being honored by God for the faithfulness here on this earth. Then we turn them back over to Him for praise and honor and glory. In other words, it's this: the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring about correction and instruction. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Thoroughly equipped. That's sanctification. Last one, glorification. Hallelujah, saved from the presence of sin. As beautiful as this day is, as gorgeous as that sunrise was, it is still affected by sin. Romans 10 says that all of creation groans to be released from the curse. I can't imagine how beautiful it's going to be when we are going to be separated from the presence of sin. Colors that we can't even begin to imagine become vibrant. Sights that we are spellbound even as we look at them on this earth, yet how wonderful they are going to be when there's no sin presence. Glorification. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Our time is rushing, and so are those donuts calling. Going to need me about three. I'm about wore out right now. Colossians 3, verse 4. But I love Romans 8, 18 to 30, when it says, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. One of these days, we're going to see Jesus face to face. I can't wait. I get jealous at times when other saints have been taken home and I'm still here. I'm here for a purpose. I understand that. But I can't wait to go home to see my Savior. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 58, what a glorious passage. Talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can't wait. Here's the key components, though, we want to look at quickly. Number one, glorification is the calling of saints to heaven, either through death or by the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58 talks about the corrupt must put an incorruption. Mortality must be put on immortality, which passes the saying, O death, where is your victory? Paul laughs as he writes that. We are not held by death. For a believer, death is goodbye earth and hello glory. Or we could come to the Greek word parousia, the calling out. Either way is fine with me, amen? Because the end is the same. I'm going home. Going home. But in keeping with our present subject, glorification is the receiving of all the blessings of God which await us in heaven. Matthew 25, 21. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Welcome. It is in heaven that saints will receive their rewards of righteousness, righteous work done on earth. And these rewards are in the form of crowns. I've given you the verses that you may go and check out what those crowns are. And you'll be amazed at what God is going to do for us. That H is for you. It is here in heaven where the judgment seat of Christ will be established. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 speaks of this judgment seat, which is for the review of things saints have done from which they will receive their rewards. Please understand, this judgment seat is not, I repeat, not for the purpose of judging who gets into heaven. That has already been settled. Can someone give me an amen? There is another judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Salvation is not the issue of that one either. But a punishment will be cast into the lake of fire. So what's our conclusion? It is this. Where are you in this process called salvation? Have you trusted by faith in Christ and Christ alone? Forsaking all, I trust Him. It is identifying by grace through faith, identifying yourself with the finished work of Jesus Christ, whereby you will be declared not guilty by God. It is trusting in Him and Him alone. For those of you that have come to that place, you are in the process of sanctification. How much of you do you want God to have? That's the key. If you want God to have all of you, there may be some changes you may have to make in your life. I can tell you this, none of you yet are in that process of glorification because you're still seated here. I see you. The question is where are you in this process? Please don't be confused about what salvation is. God doesn't want you to be confused. He is not a God of confusion. He wants you to understand of the joy that there is and not just knowing Him, but living for Him. Because one day we're going to see Him as He is. Let's pray. Father, thank you. From the depths of our hearts and souls, we say thank you for providing the way, for providing the means by which we can be declared not guilty. And as we journey on in this world, may we be willing to proclaim, as the Apostle Paul, this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. May that be our passion. May that be our desire to honor you. We'll be careful to praise you and thank you in your name. Amen.